The CMDA community has been extremely important. So I live in Delaware, very small state, and we usually feel like we're a little bit of an outcast. And I think that it's been such a blessing to have the CMDA community be so accessible through email, through feeling connected when I'm listening to a podcast or hearing from others on social media. The community really is what builds me up, makes me feel more connected. And even if I have a period of time where I can't log on or I can't listen or I can't, you know, get in touch, I know that there's somebody within the CMDA community that I can reach out to and they'll get back to me in an instant. So it's really been a great, fulfilling family, I think, that I feel. I feel that aspect of not even just friendship, it feels more like family, having the CMDA community around.
Adrienne Abritica is a nurse practitioner from Delaware who serves on your CMDA Board of Trustees. We appreciate Adrienne sharing how the ministries of CMDA have been a great value to her work as a Christian healthcare professional. Testimonies like Adrienne's are a powerful reminder of why we are asking supporters to help CMDA meet a special $640,000 matching gift challenge by June 30th. So far, we've received $426,067, and there's still time to double your impact. Please see the show notes for more information on giving your gift today, and thank you for your generosity. Listening to CMDA Matters, the weekly podcast of Christian Medical and Dental Associations. Here's your host, Dr. Mike Chubb.
Welcome, friends, to CMDA Matters, where we explore the issues that matter most to Christian healthcare professionals. Whether you're in healthcare, married or otherwise related to a healthcare professional, or you're simply interested in how God is working right now through Christ followers in patient care and beyond, we're so glad that you're here. As we approach the final stretch of CMDA's fiscal year, I want to thank each of you who has already contributed toward our $900,000 goal by June 30th. Your generosity, it makes it possible for CMDA to continue equipping and encouraging healthcare professionals across all the specialties, helping them live out their calling and bring the hope of Christ to our world. Today, I'm joined by Drs. Darlin Falk and Francis Nuthalapati. Both are deeply involved in mentoring and discipleship through CMDA. Dr. Falk is a board-certified emergency physician with over 20 years of experience, now practicing telemedicine urgent care, and she's also an ICF-certified coach and trainer with our CMDA coaching ministry. She's held several leadership roles in emergency medicine, bioethics, and medical education, including serving several years on our CMDA Board of Trustees. Dr. Nuthalapati is a maternal-fetal medicine specialist. He's also founding director of the OBGYN residency program at Advent Health Tampa, and he chairs our CMDA Mentoring and Discipleship Commission while directing our CMDA Mentoring Academy. As you're going to hear, mentoring is needed now more than ever, friends. We're at a pivotal moment in medicine and our culture where technology and corporatization often distance us from patients and each other. Mentoring and coaching offer powerful, countercultural ways to follow Jesus by modeling compassion, restoring connections with one another, and building authentic relationships that reflect Christ's life. Drs. Falk and Nuthalapati will share why mentoring matters and highlight opportunities at CMDA. Whether you're already involved in mentoring or just considering it, this conversation will encourage and equip you to step deeper into discipleship in healthcare. So let's dive in. Well, today on CMDA Matters, I have not one but two guests, and both from two of the most populous states in the union. Dr. Francis Nuthalapati, a maternal fetal medicine specialist from the great city of Tampa, Florida, and Dr. Darlin Falk, speaking of populated states, from California. So welcome to both of you today on CMDA Matters.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you. Glad to be here.
And I neglected to mention that Darlin is emergency medicine, and both Francis and Darlin have been in practice for quite a long time in their specialties, and both are leaders within CMDA. Francis is the chair of our Mentoring and Discipleship Commission, which has been going on for about 3 years. And Dr. Falk is just coming off the Board of Trustees after a 4-year stint, and also is a faculty member in our Life and Leadership Coaching faculty. So, and I have sat in one of her classes for a few weeks. So I invited you to come and talk about mentoring. So let me start, Francis. What does mentoring that includes discipleship look like for you? And then Darlin, I want you to say, in your current practice and teaching environments.
Well, thank you, Mike, for opening this conversation up. And if it's okay, I'd like to actually start with a vignette about, you know, how I actually discovered the power of mentoring and discipleship.
Sure, yeah.
And I actually, I think you know, Mike, that I was raised in a Christian home, you know, wonderful, godly parents, but was very much a nominal Christian through my childhood. And it was actually in my maternal fetal medicine fellowship that I truly encountered Christ and understood the gospel and committed to his lordship in my life. And I was attending, regularly attending church at the time, and was really struggling because, you know, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation, that the old has gone and the new has come. But I couldn't figure out how to become the new person. And really what started me down this transformational path was a man walked up to me one day after church and introduced himself, and he was a physician assistant in practice for a number of years. And he said, hey, I heard that you're a doctor. Would you like to go on a mission trip with me? And, you know, not knowing much and being pretty naive, I said, sure, tell me what's next. And over the course of the next 2.5 years, I absolutely loved spending time with this person.
Mm, wow.
And he just exemplified the characters of Christ that I knew that I was missing. That's when I first came to realize the power of association, the power of presence and being with someone. And this man, Jeff Davis is his name, is the one who introduced me to that. And it was after my experience with Jeff, when I went into practice, another person discipled me one-on-one. And that's when I learned all about spiritual disciplines. And that's how the Lord really showed me that this is what his calling is for each of us, that we are called to invest in others, as you quoted from 2 Timothy. And so that's been my life. As soon as the Lord opened my eyes to this opportunity throughout my practice, I've seen it as an opportunity to try and influence healthcare trainees, students, and residents. Now, I think the interesting part of your question is how do you do that in the context of your practice? And I've actually found it to be interesting in that when you are in a maybe an educational leadership role that you serve as a faculty or a program director, so much of what students and residents do in medical education now, Mike, is so performative, and they're always on cue and feel like they have to behave and act in a certain way. Sometimes it's actually harder to reach them in an educational leadership role than it is if you are someone in practice in the community that sees these trainees in your church or in other environments through, you know, especially society groups. And I've actually recognized that that is a much better field to meet with trainees and try to influence them and model, you know, Christ's work in your life to them. So I think that's a very interesting thing and maybe something not often recognized.
Yeah, and I think for those in private practice who aren't necessarily on a faculty at a university, that should be an encouragement to them that they have medical people in their church. They should consider that. Darlin, what about you? What does that look like for you?
Oh, my gosh. So, Francis, we did not get together ahead of time to talk, but a couple of things that you just said. I mean, first, I'd love to comment on exactly what you just shared, which I think should be so encouraging to those listening. You know, I struggled for many years about sort of what I refer to as being kind of like peripheral faculty, you know, with the medical school and kind of sort of not being, you know, official on campus. And
You know, I was a campus, you know, advisor for CMDA, but did volunteer clinical faculty stuff, very peripheral. And then had the opportunity to jump in kind of full force and be full-time faculty, dean in student affairs. And when I reflect on those years, the ability to mentor and disciple, I think was greater when I wasn't. I mean, there were different ways to go about it, but the freedom that I had, you know, to have students over when I wasn't a dean, you know, all those types of things, it's so different. We could do a whole podcast, I think, on that alone. So the two ideas, Mike, that came to mind just with respect to like kind of what I'm doing now, what I've done, sort of the idea of seasons, first of all. So like the different ways that you show up, depending on kind of where you're at in your practice, whether you're starting out early career, you're retired. And so I think mentoring takes different shapes, and the ability to infuse discipleship. You know, even when I was a dean in student affairs, you know, it's kind of crazy. I had some crazy kind of personal physical things happen, and some God just opened some doors, and the ability to, you know, share testimony in an official lecture about a physician being a patient and kind of the way that affected students and our local CMDA group. And so many different ways and that shows up. I'd say the other thought is what you said, Francis, about presence, right? And how do you interface with students and trainees, and how do you make yourself available? And again, I think that, you know, you get creative, right? You figure out what could that look like. For me, the last couple of years, I feel like I've been mentoring mentors. That's how that's really shown up for me. And then in a couple months, I get to jump back in and start teaching medical students and med skills at our local medical school. And so I've missed that, and I'm excited because now I'm going to be present with them again and then be looking for ways to mentor and to show up in that way.
Great, great information. Thank you for giving us that insight in both of your practices and your lives. Now, both of you find mentoring and discipleship extremely important, and you practice it. And I don't know about you, but I've never met a healthcare professional, whether in academia or not, who would not give lip service to the importance of mentoring. And for those in the church who would not give lip service to discipling. But my question for you is, how common or uncommon is it that you find other Christian colleagues in healthcare who are passionate and as involved in mentoring as you are? Are they out there? Are they common or maybe not so common?
I can certainly share my anecdotal experience. And that is, I think that especially in the halls of academia, there certainly are faithful people, believers, but you don't necessarily observe an outward expression of that in the halls and in the work that people do. So I think that that is a significant distinguishing factor when students or residents do encounter someone who isn't ashamed of the name of Christ and who mentions him in the work that they do and in the interactions that they have. That's what I've observed. Like, it's such a stark wake up, like, whoa, did he just mention the name of Jesus? Or did he just say he would pray with a patient? And that really catches people's interest. Because as we know, and we talk about that time, especially of residency, is so formative, Mike. It's a socialization mm-hmm. into a culture of medicine. And when people sense that fragrance of Christ for the first time in that environment, it's so unique. And they're like, what is that? Let me learn more about it. So what a great opportunity we have to express these things, either by sharing a word of truth or giving a short testimony or even just praying. That is such an amazing opportunity.
Darrilyn, you've obviously run into some folks. What do you have to say about your insight on others who are involved?
Yeah, so I think, you know, we want mentoring to be a priority. And I have found that sometimes there are real and perceived constraints. And so by that, I mean, oftentimes, so our local area, I don't know if I'd call it business, but we used to broker mentoring relationships. And so I was kind of the point person and, you know, matching students up with local docs. for mentoring. So kind of more of a formal mentoring program. And often, docs would either, they'd be too busy. You know, it was a good idea. Mentoring's great. Yes. But I'm in a season. I'm too busy. Or maybe they felt like they just didn't have what it takes to be a mentor, right? They they thought, well, I got to be a Bible scholar, or I got to have my life completely in order, picture perfect. And so I think there's that idea of limiting beliefs that creeps in, that like, I can't do this because of whatever. There's also the reality too, that, you know, you can't pour from an empty cup, right? So if you are not attached to the vine, being fed, you know, being with Jesus, being changed, becoming that new creation, being filled up yourself, then you can't pour out. And so that's, I think, a practical reality for a lot of our listeners, is that they may be too busy and their cup is not full enough where they feel like they can pour out in that way.
Well, a couple of years ago, Francis, after the formation of the commission, Mentoring and Discipleship Commission, I still remember the meeting that we were in on Zoom, in which you posed this idea of an academy, and a fellowship of 1 year, which immediately clicked with me, because our tribe loves training and credentials and curricula. And of course, you know, I don't know about you, Darrell, but I know that Francis spends a lot of time developing curricula in his life for OBGYN program director. So Francis, talk to us about the formation of the academy and where things stand right now with CMD and the commission. And of course, Darrell has been very involved on the commission and as part of this formation.
Yeah, thank you, Mike. You know, and as you recall, the story of the commission itself comes out of the exploratory task force, which you appointed. And that task force did great work over a number of months and really asking the question, is there a need for mentoring and discipleship, and how do we best meet that need? And unequivocally, the task force identified that, yes, there is a huge gap and a need, that we need to have mature professionals in healthcare investing in the current generation that's going through training. And we identified that there was a great interest amongst trainees to be mentored and discipled. And as Darrellyn previously pointed out, the other side of it is that the commission identified that a lot of CMDA members expressed an interest in engaging, but felt ill-equipped to do so. Mm-hmm. And that was really one of the main recommendations that came out of the task force then, was to form the commission and specifically form an academy so that we could address that equipping aspect. I think it's true, Mike, that unless you yourself perhaps have been through a formal discipleship process, you may not know what that actually should contain and how to approach it. And if it's been, you know, 15, 20, 30 years since you went through training, you may not even know what the training environment looks like now and how to approach queries from trainees. And so the academy addresses all of those issues. It looks at equipping people on how to engage in spiritual discipleship, how to understand the trainee environment and provide professional counsel and advising. And then, of course, what are the life situations that come up, those personal issues that we all face as we go through that season of life, and equipping you with tools in how to address them. And it's been a great response. We had our first cohort go through last year that just graduated, and they are now actively engaging in their communities. And our second cohort doubled in size. It went from 5 to 10 for the second cohort. And it's really a wonderful life-on-life development model where you have someone walking you through that 12-month curriculum and journeying with you towards being equipped.
Yeah, and I'm sure that you both, and as I've sat in heard preachers talk about discipleship and the doubling phenomenon, I love this doubling because it's not going to take long before we're going to have 13,000 people, you know, who are being. I know that probably makes you shudder there, given the number of guides that we have.
Before we continue with this week's episode, here's a special announcement for you. CMDA's Center for Well-Being helps Christian healthcare professionals align with God, optimize well-being, and maximize influence. If you find yourself feeling burned out and overwhelmed by your daily demands, please reach out to our team in the Center for Wellbeing. After all, you pour yourself out for others every day, and this is the place to be refilled. Plus, we've been expanding our services in the center to help meet the great needs CMDA members have. You can sign up for certified coaching training courses that prepare you with the skills for coaching those in your sphere of influence. And our team can even help you walk through the difficult challenge of facing a malpractice lawsuit. Plus, we offer marriage enrichment weekends and retreats for our members to refresh and restore their marriages. Our team members have been where you are, and we want to help you through the challenges you face. Visit cmda.org/wellbeing to learn more. Philippians 1:27 says, "Standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side." That scripture is the theme for CMDA's Side by Side ministry, because we know that being in a medical marriage brings a unique set of circumstances that others simply can't understand. With chapters in more than 90 communities around the world, the women of Side by Side connect, love, and pray for each other, all while encouraging their personal relationships with Jesus. Each chapter is different, with some meeting in homes and churches, while others meet virtually. Standing by our husbands, striving with our sisters, and walking with our Lord, that's what Side by Side does. To learn more about how you can get involved, visit cmda.org/sidebyside. Let's jump right back into this week's episode.
Darilyn, almost synchronous, about the same time that the commission was developing and you were on it, you were also working with Ken Jones, Pastor Ken Jones, on a curriculum, a coaching curriculum called Mentoring with a Coach Approach, and that's now has been integrated for the second cohort. Talk to us about the place of coaching for mentoring. I realize you could spend hours talking about this because we have a multi-week course on this, but just a synopsis.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So yeah, who knew, right? Who knew that this was launching just about the same time that Francis and the Exploratory Committee was launching? And so it's really been beautiful to see those two perspectives, those two curriculums come together. And so, yeah, so Ken and I had the pleasure of joining the fellows and guides in person at this last NatCon to launch kind of the didactic part of the curriculum. And so our take on this is really the idea of, I like to think of discipleship, mentoring, and coaching kind of as three mindsets. And the way we look at it is sort of picture a Venn diagram and sort of the intersection of those three circles. And that sweet spot is kind of that triangle in the middle. Mm-hmm. And so the coach approach part is really almost like the lens. It's just a different type of mindset that you bring to the mentoring relationship. Because most of us, even when I think back to my very early days of trying to be a mentor and trying to figure out what that was like, I did a lot of telling. And there's definitely a role for sharing stories and sharing, being transparent and being appropriately vulnerable and doing that with a mentee. But we do a lot of talking. And I think I have found, as I have become kind of probably wear more of a coach hat than a mentor hat often, that people need to be asked good questions. They need to be asked questions that no one is asking them. And so I think that was a profound mind shift for me, is to think about, like, what question do I need to ask them that they need me to ask them? And so that's something. So we just bring a different kind of perspective. Again, think of it as additional tools to add to the mentoring tool belt, a different way to show up to that mentoring relationship. I think it takes a lot of the pressure off a mentor because they don't have to be the Bible answer person. They don't have to have the answers to every question that their mentee may have. but they need to be present. They need to be able to make good observations, ask good questions, acknowledge the role of the Holy Spirit in this relationship, and continue to point them to Jesus. Wow.
You've both been very involved in curating resources through the commission. And for our listeners, cmda-mentor.org, I believe, is the site where many of these resources can be found. But for each one of you, what would you say is at the very top of the list in terms of resources you'd suggest to listeners on how to become a more effective, even if you're engaged and doing it for a while, but how to become even sharpen the saw, if you will? Francis?
Yes, thanks, Mike. You know, I've had the opportunity to look through a number of different approaches for discipleship, things that I've experienced myself and things that I've had an opportunity to use with others. And in the Academy curriculum, we currently use a discipleship resource, which is just really excellent. It's Discipleship Essentials, and I'm sure you can put it in the showrunner notes.
Yeah.
But that is the core for our thread of discipleship. And it covers all of the basic spiritual disciplines, you know, how to really ingest God's word in a meaningful way, how to really have an effective prayer life, not just saying a blessing over your meal or a prayer at a birthday party, but how to have a meaningful prayer interaction with our Lord. You know, the importance of memorizing scripture, something that I know you, Mike, are very invested in. And so those kinds of disciplines are really the key to an effective Christian life. And so this particular resource is so critical to the Academy curriculum because we want to make sure that we give people a framework where if they have not ever led someone through in developing those, that they are well equipped to do so. Yeah, so that's definitely my number one recommendation as a resource.
Thank you. Darylyn, how about you?
Yeah, and I would add, it's a short and easy read. A Mentoring Guide by Vantage Point 3 is one that I would recommend. And I would think it was written by a coach because it is full of just wonderful, powerful, effective questions. And really, that's one of the focuses is question asking, but also prayer and listening. But it's a short read, very helpful.
For listeners, when should they think about if they're interested in becoming a fellow for the next cohort? And maybe if you're going to do this doubling phenomenon, then maybe we'll be going to 20 next year, hopefully more than that. But when should they be looking for an announcement for the next intake?
Thank you, Mike. Yes, our announcement will go out this fall. Usually it goes out in October and it'll give you an opportunity to review what the curriculum will look like and the expectations, the opportunity there. And then we finalize selection of the fellows by the beginning of the next calendar year. So that gives people plenty of opportunity to really look at their schedules and plan for the 12-month curriculum. It's structured, Mike, where we do an in-person kickoff at NatCon. So that would be in 2026 at the NatCon. And then we also have an in-person in October. And these two in-person meetings we feel are really critical because a lot of what we're trying to do is develop relationships. And as you go through this year with the other fellows, you develop these amazing relationships. So we want people to have enough notice. That's why we release the curriculum in October so that you can look at your schedule and plan for this year-long investment. And hopefully, like you said, hopefully we will continue to see a lot more interest and growth.
And for either one of you, how much time is per month is required to be a fellow in this academy?
We've structured it where you will have some kind of interaction on a monthly basis. And because we use a life-on-life developmental model, there is a guide that you're paired with that you go through the curriculum with. And every month you have a online meeting with your guide. And usually you're talking about an hour or so for that meeting and maybe 30 to 60 minutes of prep time looking through various resources that you'll discuss during the meeting. So maybe a couple of hours a month.
And then, Darylyn, encapsulate for our listeners the mentoring with a coach approach or the 501 coaching classes. When are those being offered and what's the time commitment?
The introduction to coaching is Coaching 501. And then the next step that your listeners could invest in is Coaching 503, which Ann and I are just finishing up teaching, will be next week. And that's coaching through change, transition, and transformation. And both of those courses are We meet virtually by Zoom 2 hours a week, and that's once a week for 6 weeks. And then the Mentoring with a Coach approach, we offer that a couple times in the fall. We have what we call a two-day intensive, which is like a Friday night, all day Saturday. And then in October, we offer it again on Thursday nights for 2 hours for 5 weeks. All of those courses, you can earn CME. And so the commitment outside of class, I would say, is probably maybe 1 to 2 hours a week, just in preparation. With the coaching 501 and 503, there is outside partner coaching to practice. So that just adds a couple extra hours.
So let me give you a final shot at telling our listeners, just give them an admonition on why, if they're not engaged, they need to get engaged, they should get engaged, or if they are engaged, become more deeply engaged in mentoring and discipleship. Francis, why don't you go first?
I would say that perhaps at no other time, we are at a critical juncture in medical education and training. You know, we talk about all of the different things that have happened in terms of corporatization of medicine, you know, now the introduction of technology. And what's really happened is a tremendous dehumanization of the practice of medicine. Mm. And patients notice this, and trainees are now a part of this too. And what we really have is an opportunity to bring back the human aspect of medicine. And that was our Savior's approach. He is Emmanuel, and he came and he was with us, and he spent time with us to demonstrate to us what that relational model really is. And that's our opportunity in medicine, is to have that same relational agenda with people going through medical training now. And I'll tell you that, you know, being a program director, working for a big corporate hospital system, that's not high on the agenda of the curricular components, right? Being relational. No, you have to meet them. You have to give these certain topical lectures. You have to make sure they meet these competency milestones. But our real opportunity is about modeling the life of Christ. And the only people that can do that are Christ followers. And it's each of you listening to this podcast that if you really are a Christ follower and you want to follow Christ's admonition to go and make disciples, do that with the healthcare trainees in your community. You don't need a title. In fact, Daryl and I told you that it's probably better if you don't have an official title, that you can engage with people more freely and authentically in your community without that. And if you feel ill-equipped to do it, that's why we have the commission. That's why we have the Mentoring Academy, to give you those tools, to commission you to do this very important work at such a critical time.
And it's a powerful witness, isn't it? I mean, I was back in Indianapolis where I trained and talking with some of the faculty and students there, and they said the non-Christian students are so jealous because they're all required by the dean's office to get a mentor. And you mentioned the word organic. So the Christian students are finding Christian faculty, and the non-Christian students are like, hey, I want a piece of that. That is really incredible. And why is it working so well? And how can I sign up for one of these Christian faculties? So, Darylin, you've got the bully pulpit.
Okay. Well, I would say, you know, you're needed. You are needed in this work. Medicine is in a hard place. I think we don't even have to describe the how or the why, right? Francis already alluded to some of the things that are impacting medicine. And Ken and I would argue that we continue to train doctors for burnout. Like, our training sets people up for burnout. And as Christ followers, we have to be countercultural. We got to do this differently. And I think that starts with mentoring. I would say pause and reflect on your years in training, your early years as a young professional just launching into practice. You know, what would it have meant for a Christian colleague to come alongside you in your journey? You know, someone who saw you, who wanted to invest in you, was cheering you on, praying regularly for you, willing to ask you those questions that no one else would ask you. That would be life-changing. I think that's how we rewrite the ship. That's how we change the face of healthcare, is that we do this by one mentoring relationship at a time.
Well, Daryl and Francis, this conversation has turned out exactly the way that I hoped and prayed that it would. And I hope our listeners have been challenged and excited. And already in their minds is a list of names of those that are in their environment, that they want to go talk to, like today, and I hope that's what they'll do. The mantra that I've been thinking about a lot lately has been every CMDA member a mentor, every member a mentor, that there are no exceptions. And so those of you out there listening, we will have show notes today and some of the resources and references that we've had. But Dr. Dalen Fowk and Dr. Francis Nuthalapati, I'm so grateful that you are where you are and remaining engaged and fitting in these sorts of ministry opportunities and responsibilities and taking them so seriously. And may God bless you both and enlarge the territory of your influence, including those who are listening right now to this podcast.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you for joining us for this wonderful conversation on mentoring and discipleship in healthcare. Doctors Fowk and Nuthalapati, they shared how intentional relationships and coaching can actually transform our training as well as our professional lives and our faith journey, helping us navigate challenges and provide compassionate, Christ-centered care. Their lives have obviously been deeply shaped by the investment of faithful mentors, from Christ-honoring physicians in local CMDA chapters to seasoned leaders within CMDA's ministries. Both have learned from others, and they're now passing that discipleship on, helping integrate faith into every aspect of life and medicine. Their testimonies, I think, are living examples of how CMDA's mentoring culture has tremendous potential, friends, for lasting impact in the next generation. From early student involvement to leadership roles, they've witnessed and modeled how faithful physicians can reflect Christ in meaningful and lasting ways to the next generation as well as to the whole world. If you're inspired to get involved or you'd like to learn more about CMDA's coaching and mentoring courses as well as our resources, I'm going to invite you to visit cmda.org/coaching or the URL, cmdamentor.org. Remember, each of us has a unique opportunity to make a lasting kingdom impact by walking alongside the next generation of healthcare professionals. Attention all DEA license holders. Have you fulfilled your required 8 hours of continuing education on substance use disorder and treatment as required by Congress's MAID Act? All non-exempt prescribers actually have to fulfill this requirement before June of 2026. At CMDA, we have a wonderful resource that fulfills this mandate, offering a faith-informed, evidence-based approach to caring for patients with substance use disorders. This resource is available free of charge for our members in the CMDA Learning Center. So check it out today. You can just go to cmda.org/learning. Next week, Lord willing, we're going to hear finally from Ryan T. Anderson, president of the Ethics and Public Policy Center, who together with Jamie Brian Hall, who's a statistician from the EPPC, they recently released a study on the real-life impact of the abortion drug mifepristone, based upon a massive study of insurance claims data. This study actually became an overnight center of attention and debate in our U.S. media and government officials, so you don't want to miss it. If this episode encouraged you, please share it, leave a review, or subscribe so that you don't miss upcoming conversations. Follow us on social media to stay connected as well as be encouraged, friends. Thanks for listening to CMDA Matters, where our mission remains the same, bringing the hope and healing of Jesus Christ to the world through committed Christ followers in healthcare. That's what always matters to CMDA, and CMDA matters. Friends, may you recognize this week that the Lord is with you and that He is for you to do His good work. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time, Lord willing, on CMDA Matters.
Thanks for listening to CMDA Matters. If you would like to suggest a future guest or share a comment with us, please email cmdamatters@cmda.org. And if you like the podcast, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and share it on your favorite social media platform. This podcast has been a production of Christian Medical and Dental Associations. The opinions expressed by guests on this podcast are not necessarily endorsed by Christian Medical and Dental Associations. CMDA is a nonpartisan organization that does not endorse political parties or candidates for public office. The views expressed on this podcast reflect judgments regarding principles and values held by CMDA and its members, and are not intended to imply endorsement of any political party or candidate.